One man who does believe a woman's place is in the home is Pastor Stephen Anderson from the Baptist Church of Arizona. And before I go to him, I want to ask you a simple question. I want you to text in your answer to 53544. Do you think it's better for children and for a family that a woman stays at home? Here's a question from the past, isn't it? Because 1 in 4 people believe it's true. Women, should I say, believe it's true, according to a survey. So do you believe it's true? So text 53544. That's 53544. Do you think it's better for the children and for the family if a woman stays at home? Does all the obvious. Just text yes or no. 53544. Is a woman's place in the home? Have women forgot that they're actually women? Let me see. We've got to go, first of all, if we can, on Classic Hits 4FM to Pastor Stephen Anderson from Arizona in Texas. Good evening to you. Stephen, hi.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. You're welcome. Okay, Stephen, this is a very... Some people would think it's a kind of antiquated way of thinking that a woman's place is in the home, almost chained to the kitchen sink. But you kind of do agree to some sense of the word. Why do you believe that?
Well, I frankly believe it just because it's the Bible. And a lot of people think that biblical concepts are antiquated and outdated, but as a Bible Christian, as a Baptist pastor, I stand on the Bible. And the Bible hasn't changed in thousands of years, and it clearly spells out that a woman's place is in the home. So that's where I believe.
Okay, well, the Bible obviously hasn't changed, but people have changed, and our perceptions of life have changed, and the way we think has changed. I mean, you know, let's not go back too far, and we go back 2,000 years. Obviously, culturally, we were very, very different to the way we behave and the way we live now. We have modern conveniences. We have better homes. You know, employment laws and employment rules allow women, of course, nowadays to have careers whereas they didn't before. You know, I mean, things have changed. So many people would say, well, those kind of views are antiquated.
Well, things change, but the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And, you know, people are people. And the principles of the Bible are the same today as they were back then. But let me just give you a couple of Bible verses that I'm basing what I believe on. Here's one of them from Titus 2:4. The Bible says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So the Bible's a timeless book. God didn't write the Bible just for that one generation. You know, the Bible is for all generations, and it clearly tells us that women should be keepers at home. You know,
Steve, are you married? The obvious question, are you married?
Oh, yeah, I'm married. I have 6 children, and my 7th is on the way.
Oh, gosh, you're a busy man. Okay, so, I mean, are you working, by the way? Do you work during the day as well as being a pastor? Do you work during the day?
Yes, I do. I work a part-time job in addition to being a pastor.
Okay, and your wife now, when she gets up in the morning, does she get the kids ready? She makes the breakfast. You go off. She kisses you goodbye at the front door. It almost kind of sounds like the Stepford Wives.
Well, you know, that's exactly what she does. She runs the house, she cooks meals, and, you know, it's really a great lifestyle. Because,
for you.
I basically, well, but it's good for everybody. I mean, why would a woman want to have to, you know, go clock in at a job somewhere when she can do something that's much meaningful, raising children? And, you know, my wife enjoys her job cooking and cleaning and taking care of the children, homeschooling. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great lifestyle. And in fact, I've known many people who were not even Christians who considered it a luxury to have their wife stay at home.
Well, it was Well, certainly in the financial situation most countries find themselves in nowadays, it is a luxury if your wife can afford to stay at home.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, many people would say, well, look, you know, we don't have the luxury of that, particularly, say, in Ireland, we're in the middle of a recession. Many families, you know, are small families nowadays, 2 children, and the husband and wife are both working to afford the mortgage. You know, and many women also say, well, look, I want a career too. You know, this is a bit selfish of a man to turn around and say, my place is in the home.
Well, you know, sadly, that is the financial situation where a lot of times it takes 2 incomes to make it these days. And let me tell you something, I didn't start out with a silver spoon in my mouth, and I'm an electrician by trade. And, you know, I've had to do the work of 2 people in many cases. I've had to work 2 jobs to make ends meet. But to me, it's more important to have my wife staying at home, that I would rather work 2 jobs myself than to send her to work. Because somebody's got to be there to raise the children. The Bible says that a child left to himself will cause his mother shame. And, you know, you've got children today that are being neglected by their parents because both parents are working, dropping them off somewhere. That's not the same upbringing as a loving mother
So do you believe then that if two parents are working and dropping the children off to childcare, picking them up at 7 o'clock at night and basically just tucking them into bed, really, when they get home, that you believe that's kind of neglect in some way?
Yeah, it's definitely neglect. You know, and the Bible gives a lot of advice on how to raise children. And, you know, one of the things that the Bible teaches is spanking your children. You know, they're not spanking them down at daycare. Obviously, it's a totally different educational philosophy that's going on down at daycare. And to me, it's almost like communistic philosophy where,
okay, do you spank your kids? We all drop our kids off.
Absolutely. Mm. The commands us to spank our children.
And where in the Bible does it say that you should spank your kids?
Oh, it says it in many places. One place is in the book of Proverbs. It says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And the Bible says, "Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell."
Doesn't it also say in the Bible too that you're allowed to have a slave from another country? It mentions that in the Bible.
No, it doesn't.
Somewhere.
That's not exactly what it says. It talks about the thing that it says that's similar to that is that in the Old Testament, the Bible talked about prisoners of war. Maybe that's what you're referring to, but the point I'm making,
Stephen, is that sometimes, you know, it's obviously not meant to be taken literally. I mean, to the word, because if you do start taking it literally, you can end up, you know, discriminating against people. You can end up doing the wrong thing sometimes, because what was practical 2,000 years ago may not be practical in today's world, the way people think.
Well, you can end up doing the wrong thing in your eyes, maybe, but I don't believe that taking the Bible literally is going to cause anybody to do the wrong thing. I think that everything the Bible says is right. Mm. So if someone says that, you know, well, you can't take that too literally, usually what they mean is, I don't like what it says, so I'm going to ignore it and do what I think is right. But personally, the Bible is my final authority. So if the Bible tells me to spank my children, I'm not going to try to rationalize that maybe I'm living in a different generation. I'm just going to obey God and do what the Bible says.
And what about, you know, the modern thinking on that would be that you kind of talk to your children and ground them rather than, you know, put them on a naughty step, put them in the room.
Nonsense. Try talking to a 2 or 3 year old. You know, that's rubbish.
Stephen, you wouldn't spank a 2 year old, would you?
Absolutely, I would. No question about it. Because if you spank your children, they're going to grow up and hate you. That's not true. I love my parents. They grow up. I love them.
Yeah, but they'll grow up thinking there's something okay about physical violence.
No, because I grew up, I was spanked my whole life growing up, and I love my parents, and I've never committed violence against anybody. I've never harmed anybody. I'm 30 years old. And I've never assaulted anyone or harmed anyone. I love my parents.
Okay, but the very nature of what you're doing,
who did I assault?
You're assaulting your children if you're spanking them.
No, I'm spanking my children. The Bible says if you don't spank your children, you hate your children. So that's, I'm going to go with that.
Okay. This woman has caused a bit of a controversy in the UK, Samantha Brick, because she has said, now she's a prominent journalist in the UK, she said her husband sets her a £250 allowance each month for wardrobe, and I ask for permission before I book my hair. I get his opinion on everything, which I adhere to, and he prefers that I wear classic ladylike attire and insists that I tip the scales at no more than 10 stone. That's £140, I think, in your terms. My day is organised around my husband. Isn't that what all wives should do? And she goes on to talk about not having a headache when he's looking for sex, etc., etc. That she is a wife that basically she knows her places in the home. Would you agree with all that?
You know, everything on that list I would agree with, except for the part about the weight. You know, I wouldn't set a weight for my wife because I think that's kind of arbitrary. That seems ridiculous to tell your wife that she has to weigh under 140 pounds. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I love the way my wife looks, but, you know, she's had 6 children. I'm not going to try to set some kind of an arbitrary weight pattern for her. But as far as everything else on the list, you know, I believe in all that. I do think that women should be obedient to their husbands.
So basically, you believe women should be obedient to their husbands. Well, that's
what the Bible says.
Yeah, but one commentator today on Samantha Brick's article said that Samantha's husband should be looking for a slave and not a wife, because that's exactly the way she's behaving, like a slave.
Well, that just sounds like a bunch of feminist propaganda. You know, my wife doesn't seem like a slave. I think a woman's a slave when she has to go clock in and have a boss tell her what to do all day. I mean, basically, the choices are simple for women. They can either have their husband tell them what to do, or they can go to work and they're going to have a boss who tells them what to do.
But at least the you boss know, is actually paying them. You know, there's a difference. Which it's a job. Well, that's part of a career.
But I give my wife everything she wants. You know, isn't that payment? Think about this. Women who go to work, they have to put on a uniform, put on a name tag, put on a hairnet, and be under CCTV cameras. You know, I don't have a camera on my wife. I don't make her wear a uniform. I don't make her clock in and clock out. She has more freedom. I'm off at work all day, and she's got more freedom than she would if she went and clocked in at a job. They'd be handing her policies.
Okay, but you're making her obedient to you. Hold on for a second. The number, if anyone wants to give us a quick call, is 1850-410-494. That's 1850-410-494. Or indeed, text us right now, if you like, at 53544. And I'm talking to Pastor Stephen Anderson, who believes that a woman's place is in the home. And this is in relation to Samantha Brick's article, which is in The Independent today. I just want to take one or two callers, if I can, Pastor. I want you to stay with us. We're going to go to Mary. You're live in Classic Hits 4FM. You're in Cork.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Mary? Do you believe a woman's place is in the home?
That pastor now would want to snap out of it, because I can tell you there's no woman in this day and age going to listen to any man. I'm not at home at the moment. I'm at work. My husband is at home. I'm at work. I'm out driving a taxi. I'm not in no uniform. That was my choice to go out to work. If my husband said to me, you're not going to work, I would be up and out the door and going to work. And this Bible thing, sorry about that now, Pastor, but not everybody should go by the Bible. You are expecting your children at 2 years of age. I have two teenagers. I have an adult. She's nearly 19 in October. And I have a son that's nearly 17. Mm-hmm. Never, ever assaulted my children, ever. And have no problems with them, thank God. And you are going by the Bible.
Okay, so what the pastor is saying, I'm sure he can correct me, because he's still there, I'm sure he can correct me, is that, you know, it shouldn't be you that should be at work, and it should be your husband. You're the one, you should be at home.
Well, you see, times have changed now. You know, women have always been at home looking after the kids. Like, I have a husband at home that is very, very good. He is doing most of the housework, and he has no shame in saying it, and I have none either. Because at this day and age, not everybody can get a job. Lucky enough, I'm able to get one. It's not one of the best jobs.
Let me ask the pastor that. Stephen, I mean, there's a situation where there's many women or career women who are out working, and the husbands are actually at home. Is that okay? Is that acceptable? Because it's kind of reverse roles, really, isn't it?
No, it's absolutely not acceptable, you know, because the Bible's really clear that men need to lead. And the Bible says if a man provide not for his own, even for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, the Bible commands men to provide for their family and for women to be keepers at home. We can't just reverse the roles whenever we want.
So Mary is an infidel.
Well, here's the thing. She's clearly an infidel because she's rejecting the Bible, so she doesn't believe the Bible. If she believed the Bible, she'd be acknowledging the fact that God wants women to stay home.
If I was to believe everything that the Bible said, I would have my head stuck in the sand. Be real.
Well, there you go.
She just
admitted that she doesn't believe the Bible.
I'm not going to turn around and believe everything. Like, my husband is at home. He's not, whatever you're calling him, infidel. He's not one of those.
You're both infidels.
He was a hard worker, mate. He was. But unfortunately, in this day and age, somebody has to go out and do some sort of work.
Otherwise, see, the whole point is, Stephen, the way she looks at it is, if she doesn't go out and drive, they're both out of work. She goes, gets her taxi, drives out, makes a few quid for the family. I mean, if she didn't do that, they'd starve.
Well, that's not true. He could go out and get a job.
Where? It's all right for you. You're a pastor in the United States. I have watched many a program where pastors are over there and they're living in 10-bedroom houses. That's all right for you over there, unless I become a pastor and go up and teach above in the community centre and Bullology. Be fair about it. I will get well paid as well if I was a pastor like you. You can go out, preach your Bible. I'm out here making a few pounds. You stick to your job and I'll stick to mine.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I don't earn my living as a pastor. I earn my living as an electrician, which I've done for over a decade. And, you know, the bottom line is that the Bible's right and everybody else is wrong. And so when it comes to this thing of, well, the husband can't get a job, Well, if God, if he would obey the Bible, then God would bless him and God would help him get a job. So okay, things are tough over here too. I mean, we're in recession as well. It's probably not as bad as it is over there. I don't really know the economic situation.
I think it's worldwide. Right. It's pretty much the same. Somebody just texts in and says, Niall, why don't you tell him what you really think? I will very, very shortly. Okay, hold on for a second. I got to get Sinead on. Sinead, you're in Kildare. You're live in Classic Hits 4FM. You want to talk to the pastor?
Yeah, well, I think it's all bullshit.
You think the whole lot's bullshit?
Yeah.
What part in particular? Do you want to be more specific?
That women have to stay at home. No, we don't. This is the 21st century, sunshine. Get your ass out of the fucking past from years ago. Get living with the 21st century and let women live, either live at home or work.
But he's not the only one. But hold on, in fairness, Samantha, he's not the only one that feels that way. Samantha Brick, who we imagine is a 21st century woman.
She needs her head fucking seen to her. So she does. She needs her head seen to believing that women have to be at home. For bullshit.
But isn't it every woman's choice? If that's her choice to do that.
No, she's basically being a fucking slave to some sad bastard that tells her.
Okay, can you curtail the language just a little bit if you can, Samantha?
Sinead. Right, sorry. Well, he is anyways. That's all he is a sad, selfish little snot that has to tell her what she's to wear, what she's doing, all that. I tell you, if any man, I don't care who he is, I am not telling me that and I'm telling you, I'm slapping him.
I don't know. But Pastor, do you actually tell your wife what she can and can't wear? For example, if you believed or if your wife was wearing something you construed to be revealing too much, would you say it to her?
Oh, absolutely. Now, you know, my wife has enough sense to dress properly on her own. And if she tried to wear a pair of pants or if she tried to wear a short skirt or something like that, I would tell her that she can't. And I would lay down the law because, you know, I don't allow my wife to dress like a man or to dress like a hoochie mama or to dress, you know, like a prostitute.
Well,
so I would tell her that she needs to dress like a lady.
Sorry, Sinead?
I'll have you know, Sunshine, not all women dress like that. I don't dress like that.
Yeah, well, if you don't dress like that, what are you worried about?
I don't worry about anything. I'm just saying, if she's old enough to be married to him, then she's old enough to be allowed to dress what she wants to wear. Why should she have to listen to him?
Well, she does wear what she wants to wear. I don't tell her what to wear because she's smart enough to dress the right way. But if she tried to wear something that I consider too revealing, then I'd tell her no.
No, here, hang on, Sunshine. You just basically said there now. You're just after hanging yourself big time, Pastor. You just basically said you don't tell her what she's to wear, right? She can wear whatever she wants. But you just said that she can't go around dressed like a hoochie mama or anything like that.
Sinead, what he said was that she's clever enough to understand what she, basically her own boundaries and what he believes is right.
She wants to wear what she
wants.
But you're basically telling her that she still can wear certain things. So therefore, Sunshine, you just hung yourself. You are actually telling her what she can and can't wear. Whether she's...
Sinead, I'll admit to you right now, if it becomes necessary, I will tell my wife what she can and cannot wear. I'm not going to make any bullshit my wife wears, and my daughters also.
Yeah, do you know what, Pastor? I give anything, and believe you me, I give anything day to day. She turns around and slaps you in the face and says, go fuck yourself. And sorry for the language, Niall, I would. And your daughters, too. I'd give anything to be there.
But the whole point is, Sinead, hold on, think about it. The whole point is, that's his culture, that's the way he believes, that's what he believes is right, and they respect what he believes.
Yeah, but no, his wife might, but his kids won't grow up thinking like that.
Have you ever spanked your kids? Sinead, have you got kids?
No.
Okay, you haven't got kids, all right, okay, so you wouldn't understand.
And I don't believe in hitting kids either.
Well you know, people
in Ireland, it's against the law.
Well, it's not actually against the law to spank your kids. It's against the law to assault your children.
Still the same thing.
Mm. You know, the principles that I live by and the ones that I'm speaking from the Bible, they aren't new. They've been around for thousands of years. And for thousands of years, people have been living by these principles. And so everybody's acting like kids are going to turn out bad if they get spanked. Well, kids have been getting spanked for the last few thousand years, okay?
You know what? I'm the same age as you, Pastor, right? My mother hit me. I didn't turn out bad. I don't go out robbing shops or houses. I don't go out molesting people or anything like that.
Yeah, but then, Sinead, you're proving your own point. You said your mother did hit you or slapped you, basically, spanked you.
If I did something I deserved to stop.
Okay, you said you don't go around robbing anymore or you don't do anything. So obviously you learned your lesson, did you?
Huh?
You obviously learned a lesson then from it, did you?
Yeah, but I never did it in the first place. No, there's no guarantee his kids will do it.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I gotta go. I want you to stay there. I want to go to Joe. You're in Cork. Joe, you're live in Classic Hits 4FM. By the way, if anyone wants to call in, you can 1850 410 494 or text 53544. Is a woman's place in the home, Joe?
Hi, Noel. How you doing?
How you doing,
Pastor?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Woman's place. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, woman's place in the home. I don't know. That depends on the situation. I can't really believe that a woman's place is in the home. You know, circumstances change, and you know, a woman could be the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. We're past Pastor Anderson. It's Pastor Anderson, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, Pastor Anderson. I'm not sure where Pastor Anderson is coming from there. And
well, he's coming from the Bible, with what he believes is the right thing to do, the teachings of the Bible. That's where he's coming from.
Well, the teachings of the Bible, I've heard his opinions there, and just get it straight. I'm a heathen or an infidel, as he likes to call it, because I don't live by the Bible. I don't believe in the Bible, and I don't think the Bible is irrelevant anymore to our life, you know, or to my life anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, going by a book or a selection of books or writings that spanned from the Iron Age up until the time of you know, the time of the fall of the Roman Empire, it was relevant then, but it's not relevant anymore. We have evolved. We've gotten, you know, we've gotten a bit more civilized than that.
But is there a problem with it, Joe? If that's the way, you know, he wants to live his life. No, I know. I know he's preaching to other people in relation to that. But if that's the way he wants to live his life, and his family are happy to be obedient, and his wife is happy to be obedient, yeah, well, to him, is that a problem?
Now, there's an old saying, birds of a feather, and I'm sure his wife is probably a lady of faith, and they follow their Christian doctrine. And I don't think, you know, I mean, the relationship, they would never have come together unless they had a common belief, you know. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's okay.
Would you feel a level of sympathy for his wife?
We're living in an age where she can, you know what I mean, where she can make her own decisions. Mm-hmm. What I do feel sympathy for is his kids, you know. This idea of spare the rod and spoil the child, that's absolutely ridiculous. There are other ways of disciplining and of bringing up kids. You don't have to beat them. You beat a dog, but not a kid, you know.
Okay, sorry, Pastor Stephen Anderson, do you believe that your children are being brainwashed?
Absolutely not, because if I dropped them off down at the public school, the government school, that's where they'd be brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. How are they brainwashed, Pastor?
Because, I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, in what respect are your children being brainwashed in the public school?
Oh, well, my children are not being brainwashed, but if I did send them to the public school, they'd be brainwashed. They'd get all this training that homosexuality is okay.
Yeah.
And they get all this training that illicit sex is okay, and that the Bible is lies.
So
we evolve from monkeys and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. So you're telling me that you're homeschooling your kids, yeah?
Absolutely.
You're homeschooling your kids?
Yes, sir, yes.
So what you are doing, in effect, is kind of hiding them from the reality of life. Hiding them from the reality of sin.
No. So basically, are you saying that I have to drop them off at a government institution for 8 hours a day, or I'm hiding them from life?
Well, you know, you're hiding them from life.
You are actually hiding them. Well, what are you protecting them from, Pastor? What are you trying to protect them from?
I'm protecting them from our evil government, our evil United States government that wants to brainwash them.
Yeah, but...
Am I right in saying, by the way, I just want to clarify this, and I remember reading it somewhere, that you prayed at one stage for Obama to get a brain tumor and die of cancer?
Yes, I did, because he's an evil person, and our government right now is an evil force in the world.
Why is he an evil person, Pastor?
Well, how about the fact that our troops are killing innocent people over in Afghanistan and Iraq with drones? We're killing pregnant women and babies.
Yeah.
And we're invading countries that we have no business in.
Angela, you're live on Classic Hits 4FM. Do you agree with the Pastor Stephen Anderson that a woman's place is basically in the home?
Hi, you know.
How are you doing, Angela? What do you want to say?
Well, first, good evening, Pastor. Can he
good
hear
evening.
Me?
Yes, he can. He can hear you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
No, Angela. Lady.
Lady. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Okay. I'm a Christian. I'm Catholic, outside of my religion, yes, according to you. I became an unmarried mother in 1983, in a country that was, well, a little, not too good about things like that. But anyway, here we are, 2012. Firstly, I've just heard that last man that called, I don't know what his name was.
Joe.
He said something there that's actually shocked me. But firstly, actually, like I said to your researcher, I've just come back in from my garden. I'm nursing a leg that's broken, two years and 7 months. I've been painting sheds, painting fences. I'm ironing now like a good little lady that I should be.
Yep.
I cook, I clean.
Yeah.
When my son was born, I was an unmarried mother. I worked. I was a homemaker. I was all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did this man, or did he not, wish those horrible thoughts on President Obama? I've just heard a few minutes ago.
He did, yes.
Okay. And he's...
What he said was that he wished Obama had got a tumour and died of cancer.
Okay. And he's quoting the Bible.
That's I don't believe it says that anywhere in the Bible.
No. He's quoting the Bible about his beliefs.
Oh, yes, yeah.
All along, he's quoting the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, straight away, which of the Ten Commandments does he not understand?
Well, you could ask him.
Well, I guess you can tell me which one I don't understand.
Which of the Ten Commandments do you not understand?
Well, I understand all ten of them. Which one is it that you think I don't understand?
What about which one am I mixed up on?
Oh, what about love thy neighbor as
exactly.
thyself?
Where's the quote in the Bible also? You know, the one Nile that says treat people, other people.
Oh, don't we ask me for quotes in the Bible?
Like no, and I'm not quoting either.
Treat
you know
others
what I mean?
As you would like.
As you would wish to be treated yourself.
Yeah.
So let's come back on that one. Now, I didn't actually know that this pastor had made those statements about President Obama, those wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not even discuss any further about what he feels a place for a woman is. And if he likes to treat his wife the way he does, fine by me.
But she's happy to be treated like that,
yeah,
aren't she?
That's okay.
You know. But I imagine, and I don't want to put words in the pastor's mouth, but I imagine his level of thinking would be that you're a habitual sinner anyway because you're a single mum. Would I be right
single
in thinking
mom,
that?
And now, listen.
Well, no, let me answer that, because would I be right in thinking that, Pastor Stephen Anderson, that she's a habitual sinner?
I hope that she's not a habitual sinner, but obviously when she did that sinning, I mean, the Bible's clear that you're supposed to be married before you hop in the sack.
Mm.
I mean, that's pretty clear in the Bible that you're supposed to be married. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you haven't turned over a new leaf since then. I don't know you.
No, I always believe in God and my God, and my God is obviously taking care of me. So there you go. Somebody's got me.
Well, I don't believe in Roman Catholicism, but...
Yeah. But then again, Angela...
But you obviously don't love thy neighbor also.
But Angela, you know...
Well, I do love my neighbor, but you see, here's the thing. If I were living in the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin... I wouldn't love Stalin, and if I were living in Nazi Germany, I wouldn't love Hitler. I don't think any rational person today would say that they love Hitler.
Yeah, but in fairness, even Hitler killed millions of Jews, whereas your president really hasn't killed any.
Obama killed millions of babies.
How many
people do you have to kill before I can hate you? Once you've murdered...
How did Obama kill millions? Just because he oversees a country that has legalized abortion.
He's murdering women and children in Afghanistan with drone attacks. And he's also using money to pay for abortions. That's murder. So you don't have to murder a million people to be Hitler. You can murder 20 people and you're a bad person.
Sorry, go ahead, Angela.
Hello.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Angela.
Each night you go to bed, do you ever say a prayer for anybody except yourself?
Of course I do, but I
don't say a prayer for maybe. Do you say a prayer for maybe? Maybe. Besides the people I would pray for are the people who've lost their lives through all of this. But do you say a prayer for maybe somebody like President Obama that you wish to have a tumor and die of cancer? Do you say a prayer for anybody else, you know, like that? Maybe because it sounds like your thoughts are very, very nice. I wouldn't like to be,
Well, here's the thing. I pray that God will bless people that are good people. I don't pray for God to bless murderers. And the Bible commands us not to pray for wicked people that God would bless them.
Okay, hang on a second. I want to go to...
You know, he's a mass murderer.
Okay, Rachel, you're in Limerick. You're live on Classic Hits 4FM. Go ahead. You're talking to us to Pastor Stephen Anderson, who believes a woman's place is in a home. Do you agree with him?
I do agree with him, believe it or not.
You do agree with him?
I do. I believe a bell here, that a woman's job is to take care of her husband, her kids, her home. Now, but at the end of the day, I'm the boss of my family, though. My husband knows that.
You're the boss.
I'm the boss. But I still believe that I should take care of my husband. My house is cleaned. My husband is taken care of. I even bring him to the pub and collect him from the pub. And I make sure he's a hot dinner when he gets home from the pub.
Okay.
And that's the way I was brought up, that that a woman should be taking care of her husband. And that's her job at the end of the day.
And what about women who have careers?
Yeah, I used to work. And okay. I still took care of my husband. I gave up work a year and a half ago. Because I wasn't spending enough time with my baby.
Yeah, but what about a woman who kind of doesn't agree with you and says, well, hold on, no, I'm equal to my husband. I'm allowed to go out and have a career and he should look after me too, cook the dinner and have it ready for me when I come home.
Every family's different, to tell you the truth.
And that's fair enough. But the pastor is saying that's wrong. That if you do that, and as he said to Mary, I think it was earlier on, who was a taxi driver and her husband is at home looking after the kids, that she's an infidel.
No, I don't believe in that side of it. I believe my viewpoint is that all women should take care of their husbands, take care of their kids, take care of everything in the house, and their husbands should work
Let's take it to the extreme. Samantha Brick also mentioned today about women shouldn't be allowed to have headaches when it's convenient. And we all know what she was talking about, okay?
I do, yeah.
Okay, that basically that she's... So technically speaking, when you're a wife, you're a cook, you're a cleaner, and you're also a prostitute.
Well, my mother always said to me that there's three ways to keep a man happy. You've got to be a cleaner in the house, a cook in the kitchen, and I can't know if I can say the word.
A whore in the bed. Okay, all right.
You know that.
Well, we've heard that one before. Okay, I'm not saying that you're a prostitute or a whore, but do you agree with the sentiment in that, you know, if your husband says, I want sex, that you should be there to provide it for him?
That's your job, as his wife. You should be there to please him. And he pleases me, though.
Yeah. So, Pastor Stephen Anderson, when it comes down to sexual matters, you know, has there ever been a situation where your wife has ever said to you, oh, look, you know, not tonight, Stephen, I'm not really in the mood?
Well, here's the, you know, I don't want to get too personal about my sex life, but here's the thing. But let me tell you this. The Bible is really clear. But actually, in this one case, it's actually a two-way street. The Bible actually clearly commands in 1 Corinthians 7, that it is not right for my wife to tell me no in the bedroom, but that it is also not right for me to tell her no. So that is one area where, you know, it's a, you know, if that's what I want to do, that's what we're going to do. But if she wants to do it, we're going to do it also. So that's a two-way street. It's in 1 Corinthians 7.
Okay, so basically a woman really shouldn't say no. Or a man.
No. Or a man shouldn't say no either. The Bible is real clear on that. In 1 Corinthians 7, it says that, you know, you're defrauding. It says, defraud ye not one another, except to be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and afterward come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So the Bible says that, you know, men and women should not defraud each other of sex.
Okay, so Rachel, you agree, well, obviously not with the Bible per se, literally, but you agree with the whole sentiment that a woman's place is at home to be obedient more or less to her husband and do basically whatever he feels like, within reason, obviously.
Well, to keep him happy, I think, is the word I would use more than anything, yeah. I think once, like, we're together 16 years, we're only in our mid-30s, and I think, that's my job. That's what we've always had a relationship. It works for my family. It may not work for every family, but it works for our relationship.
But you're kind of Stepford wife, aren't you?
Sorry?
You're a kind of Stepford wife.
Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah.
That's my idea. Like,
what would happen if you turned around and say you were going out some night, okay, and he said, oh, God, I don't like that skirt you're wearing. It's a bit short. Please
I would not wear it because I respect his opinion. At the end of the day, he's my husband. And if he said to me, that outfit's not right on you, you're showing too much chakras, as we call them, I'd change. If he didn't like my... Like, I've dyed my hair a different colour because he says, oh, blonde is nicer on you, or darker would be nicer on you. But that's because I respect his opinion. Not because I'm being controlled by him, but because I respect
some people will say it's control. But
they would.
But you're allowing him to control you in some ways.
Because in some ways,
But you're allowing him to pass his opinion on you and you're conforming to what he wants.
But I respect his opinion, and when I do it, then it looks right. That, oh, he's right, actually. Because I know he's... He wouldn't let me go out of the house looking whatever. Mm-hmm. He would respect me to look respectful.
See, there's a lot of women now at home are listening to this. By the way, if you want to give us a call, 1850-410-494.
Could kill me, yeah.
Or text 53544. And they're saying you're not doing any good for the cause here, girl.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe in feminism. I think that I am a strong woman at the end of the day. I've been working all my life. I only gave up work 2 years ago, believe it or not. And I still maintained everything I did before I gave up work. So it's not that... I think that's why a lot of relationships go faulty, actually, because they don't do what the husbands want. They don't listen to the husbands. They have no respect for the husbands. At the end of the day, he's my husband. Mm-hmm. I should do what he wants, what pleases him. And if he doesn't like something, if I gain weight, he will tell me I've gained weight and I'll lose it. But that's because he loves me and I respect him. And it's a two-way street. I'll say it to him as well.
And has he ever said to you, by the way, you're putting on a bit of weight there, do you want to...
Oh, yeah, he would say it to me, yeah. And I've had my boobs implants done a few years ago because they were quite flat and he didn't like them too flat. And I thought, okay, that's something for my husband.
So you got surgery for your husband, yeah, to have your boobs done?
Yeah. Huh. And I like them now.
And I know. So, Pastor Stephen Anderson, this is the perfect woman for you, really.
But that's why a lot of ladies
No, I don't want my wife getting surgery and, you know, and earlier she said she's the boss, you know.
Oh,
my
wife's
not
yeah.
the boss.
Your
so
wife.
That's the part I don't agree with.
Oh, yeah, so I can understand that from people.
For a second, I almost thought there was a woman in Ireland who agreed with me, almost there for a second,
almost,
but then she
Pastor,
said she was
almost.
The boss.
Yeah, but she's close enough to agreement, you know what I mean? Somebody else says, look, I'm looking at the text coming in.
Yeah.
Now, please tell that woman to get a life, for God's sake. She's
a
fool.
I have a life, and I'm...
Well, she sounds like a very nice person. She sounds very nice, you know.
But that's because she's agreeing with you.
But she sounds like a nice person. Yeah, she doesn't agree with me 100%, but she seems like a sensible person.
Yeah, but the majority of people listening, and with respect to her, would think she's a fool. But because of her opinion. No, don't get me wrong. I think she sounds lovely. I think she sounds lovely.
Let me say one thing. You know, it's funny how people think that when I quote the Bible, I'm being offensive. But here you are, you're using words like fool, prostitute, and Stepford wives
mm-hmm.
about good, decent wives. I mean, that's insulting.
Yeah, but
I mean, you're basically saying that my wife is a fool, a Stepford wife, and a prostitute. I mean, that's insulting.
Why is it
that's
insulting?
That's offensive.
But hold on for a second. Many people would say that if
live
she's...
Live and let live.
If she's being obedient to you, it's almost like she's a little lapdog. You know, and Stepford wives, we all know what Stepford wives are. These are the wives, of course, in these perfect, idyllic estates that do the cooking and they're chained to the kitchen sink all day and look perfect just for their husbands. So, I mean, that's the term that's used. So why is that an insult? Because that's exactly what your wife does and that's exactly what you do, Rachel, for your husband. I mean, you look right for your trying to look perfect.
What about fool and prostitute?
I'm just reading out the text that's coming in. Is that woman's
but
a
I
fool.
Don't mind being called a fool or a separate wife because at the end of the day, it works for our family. We've been together for so long and it works for us.
Yeah, but see, and also in relation to the word fool, I suppose, Pastor, some people would believe you're foolish for believing in the Bible so literally.
Right. People will think that, but they're the ones that are going to go to hell, and I'm the one that's going to go to heaven. Because the Bible
but they wouldn't, Pastor, because if they don't
believe...
The Bible says
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yeah, but they
and
won't...
People who don't believe are going to go to hell.
But, Pastor,
the Bible.
They won't go to hell because if they're calling you a fool for believing in the Bible, they obviously don't believe in the Bible, so they actually won't go to hell because in their eyes there is no hell.
So if I believe that things don't exist, then they go away?
Well,
what if I close my eyes and believe that Ireland doesn't exist? Is it going to disappear?
Well, there's a bit of a difference. There's a bit of a difference in Ireland and the Bible. Ireland is physically here. We've got proof of it, okay? The Bible is based on faith.
Hell is physically there.
Okay,
have you ever seen a volcano erupt? Hell is there, my friend.
The scientists will give you the reasons for that as well. Okay, hold on for a second. I want you to stay with me, Rachel, if you can.
Yeah, you're grand.
If anyone wants to give us a quick call, you can. 1850-410-494. Or you can give us a text at 53544. And the question I'm simply asking you tonight is a woman's place in the home. And ironically enough, Rachel from Limerick agrees that a woman's place is in the home to be obedient to her husband. Okay, I got to go to... obedient is a very strong word, actually. Niall, I shouldn't be using that. Michelle, you're in Dublin. You're live on Classic Hits 4FM. Good evening to you.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
How are you doing, Michelle? What do you want to say?
I actually can't believe what I'm hearing. Like, Rachel, fine, if she wants to do what she does in her relationship, that's all right. But the pastor, taking out that everything is practically a sin. I'm a single mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
I only have a little fella.
Yeah, you're a sinner.
I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. Tell me something I don't know. All I have is my little fella. But if he ever got the impression that women were just there to wait on him hand and foot, I would kick his backside down to Cork and back. That was ridiculous. It actually is. Like, I mean, he is in the house with myself and my family.
Mm-hmm.
He watches very three strong, independent women, which is myself, my sister, and my mother. And he also watches my dad and my brother, who do things for themselves and don't wait for us to get up and put the pennies on and give them everything they snap their fingers to.
Do you think, obviously, women have changed in the last 100 years. Life has changed, culture has changed, the way we think changes, women in the workplace has changed. But is there still, I mean, what do you think of Rachel, for example, who agrees essentially with most of what the pastor was saying there and basically is obedient to her husband? Do you think, yes, it's old school thinking as far as many people are concerned, but do you think there's anything wrong with it?
There's nothing wrong with it. Like, I mean, every relationship is different.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, there's no point in us trying to fight for our equal rights when we have people like the pastor coming on and saying it's frowned upon. If women go to work, they get told off. If women stay at home, they get told off. We can't win. We actually cannot win.
Yeah, but how will you get told off if you stay at home? According to him, you won't.
Well, nowadays in Ireland, we do.
Well, we're not making any money. Okay, but what he would say to you, for example, are you working?
I am not. I'm a stay-at-home mum.
You're a stay-at-home mum?
Yeah.
Okay, but what he's saying is that working mums who are out there, you know, and putting their kids into care are neglecting their children. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't. Like, I mean, I am going back to college when my son starts school.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some days where I shall be late. Or there are some days where I am at home for him when he gets home. But other than that, like, when he starts school, I'm in college or I'm working. That's it. No argument. Mommy needs a light too.
Okay. I wanted to take one or two more calls. I know that I don't want to keep the pastor waiting too much longer. Michelle, you're in Dublin. Go ahead. You're live on Classic Hits 4FM. Not Michelle. Morris, is it?
Yeah, Morris. How you doing, Niall?
Yeah, how you doing, Morris? What do you want to say?
Not too bad. Yeah, I was just listening to the pastor there and basically being an Irishman and being an ex-army man. Good evening to you, Pastor.
Good evening.
Yeah. I was just wondering about what your opinion was of all the brave American ladies who are serving in Afghanistan and Iraq, and who are providing the very freedom that you live under. You know, would you condemn those women in the American Defense Forces?
You know what, I think it's really funny that you think that people in Afghanistan and Iraq are defending my freedom right now, because they're not defending my freedom, and I don't really care less what happens in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's on the other side of the world. That has nothing to do with us. That's the American empire for gold and oil and opium and everything else. That has nothing to do with defending our freedom. Our freedom is just fine in America.
Basically,
and those women need to go home and stay home and do what they're supposed to do as wives and mothers, and they shouldn't be out there as troops. And nobody in Afghanistan is defending my freedom, I'll tell you right now. They're fighting for the empire. That's all they're doing.
No, well, basically,
they're not even fighting for America. They're fighting for NATO. They're fighting for the United Nations and NATO. It's not even for our country.
But basically, when
the Irish troops there as well.
Mm. Well, maybe no. Well, the Irish troops have a great record of peacekeeping in the Lebanon.
Yeah.
But what I'd say
right.
to you is when terrorism came to America on 9/11, the amount of women that volunteered to go and fight for their country and their freedom against Al Qaeda. So I find it very ironic that somebody like yourself wouldn't take up a gun and go and fight for freedom as you believe in America.
Well, no, I'm not going to fight against a false boogeyman, because guess what? Al-Qaeda was invented by the CIA. The CIA is the one who started. Look up the history of Al-Qaeda. The United States CIA started Al-Qaeda to fight against the Soviets and funded Al-Qaeda, and Osama bin Laden was a CIA asset, and 9/11 was an inside job that was carried out by our own government as a
pretext. Now, Stephen, you're living off conspiracy theories.
True. Have you ever seen Building 7? I challenge anyone who's listening to this radio program to go on YouTube and watch Building 7 collapse.
Okay, I also challenge anybody who's living on this radio program to go to a website, Elvis is Still Alive.
Exactly. Now we go.
Well, you know, that's baloney, but go look at Building 7 collapse and tell me that Building 7 collapsing is normal.
This is in relation to what they said was it was a planned demolition, you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. On 9/11, everybody thinks that two buildings fell. There were three buildings that fell on 9/11. One of them was not even hit by a plane. It's called Building 7. Look it up. It didn't even get hit by a plane, and a giant skyscraper collapsed for no reason.
Okay, well, the American government will have us believe that the reason that was taken down was because of the damage that was done to the building by the collapse of the other two.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's what they want us to believe, so that they can, the military-industrial complex can go make billions of dollars over in the Middle East.
Yeah, you're listening to the landlord, Mr. Silverstein, who used the term, they pulled the building. I don't want to move away from that. That's a complete everything else. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Noel. One of the things I heard Pastor Stephen say was, when one of the ladies was singing or speaking, and she said, yeah, except he didn't agree with her being the boss. Mm-hmm. And one of the comments he made was, live and let live. Right?
Yeah.
But still he wished ill health on a man called Mr. President Obama. And no Christian would do that to any other human being. You would not wish ill health on anybody, regardless of what you think of them or what they do, because God said, treat your brother or your sister like you would like to be treated yourself. So to wish ill health or ill will on somebody, that's not Christian and that's not in the gospel.
Okay, do you want to answer that, Pastor Stephen Anderson?
Well, yeah, you can say over and over again that it's not in the Bible, but that doesn't make it true. In Psalms, David prayed over and over again for wicked, evil people to die and for them to have poor health and to be killed. So, I don't know what Bible you're reading.
You think it's okay then to wish bad, to wish ill health on President Obama and wish he had a tumor
upon
and died?
Upon mass murderers?
Well, in your opinion, he's a mass murderer.
Does he have actual blood on his hands?
Does he actually have blood on his hands, Stephen? No, he doesn't.
Well, you know what? Do you know who Charles Manson is?
I do indeed. He's a mass murderer, yeah.
Charles Manson never killed anyone. He told other people to do the killing, so he didn't have any physical blood on his hands, but you and I both know that he's a murderer.
He's a serial
killer. Charles Manson was given a death sentence for telling other people to kill, and he didn't do the actual
Just like the Waco killings, Charles Manson was part of a cult as well.
Exactly.
Obama killed more people than Charles Manson.
Yeah, but Charles Manson was part of a cult. He made people believe something that wasn't true.
There's a cult that worships Obama. There's a cult that worships
Obama. He's the president of your country. What he's doing is legitimate. What Charles Manson was doing wasn't legitimate.
He wasn't even born in this country. He's not even a legitimate president. He was born in Kenya.
Well,
hey, Pastor Stevens, can I ask you a question? If one of your children grows up within your church and within your beliefs and turns around and says, I want to join the army, I want to serve my country, what would you say to that child?
Well, I would recommend that they not do it, but it's their freedom to do it. If they want to do it, they can do it.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't want them to serve with a bunch of homosexuals and serve Obama and serve the empire and serve the New World Order.
Exactly.
So I would tell them not to do it. But if they choose to do it, it's their choice. You know, I'm not trying to control other people. I'm just preaching the truth.
Okay, hold on a second. I want to go to, I think I've got to go to Thomas. You're in Cork. Is it Thomas next? Thomas, you're live in Classic Hits 4FM. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Niall. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Thomas? What do you want to say? Oh, it was your wife that was on earlier, who was the taxi driver.
This asshole called an infidel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're an infidel too.
Barbarians,
both infidels. Yeah.
But the funny thing about it is I didn't go on a radio show tonight and preach my religion to anybody and call anybody names.
Mm.
Isn't that very funny, isn't it? But yes, my wife decided to go in and make a comment and she was called names by an outsider of our country, but I don't even know what he's doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in our country preaching to us.
Well,
he's not in our country.
He's
entitled to them, but don't ram him down my throat or my wife's throat.
Mm. But basically what he's saying is that a woman's place is in the home. That he was saying that your wife shouldn't be out working, it should be you that's out working.
No, he said a woman's place is in the home and it's out working and it's out in socialising. It's out, called living, having a life.
Mm-hmm.
Called having a brain and using it.
Okay, well, maybe if you want to answer this. Stephen, do you want to apologise to this man for calling his wife an infidel?
No, I never called him an infidel.
The Bible called him an infidel.
If he can't answer, he'll hide behind the Bible. He won't answer your
question. Here's what the Bible said.
The Bible said that a man
who will not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. So I didn't call him an infidel. I said he was worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that a man's responsibility is to provide for his family. And if he sits on his rear end while his wife is providing, that is wrong. And I'm going to preach the truth about it. And I'll also say this. You know, I'm 1/4 Irish, And I'm just thanking God right now.
What
I just
saying
thank God
is
that my ancestors came to the United States 100 years ago.
If your wife is at home and you're
this radio show.
Your wife is at home and you're out working. Are you sitting? Is she sitting on her rear end and she's not doing anything?
No, she looks after the home. That's what he said.
Well, then if my wife is out working, would I not be sitting at home then?
It's not a man's job to take care of the house. That's a woman's job.
Maybe I'm a homosexual and maybe she's just staying with me for the sake of it. How do we know? Like, you're reading into things that you don't even know. You're assuming that my wife is out working because I'm staying at home.
Well, that's what she told us.
She told us she's at work and you're at home.
She told us she's working and you're at home.
He's assuming the reason
anything.
That she's out working. That's the point I'm making. There could be a reason.
No, that's what she said. She said you can't get a job. She said my husband can't get a job, so I have to work.
Okay.
That's what she said.
We're not assuming
anything.
What she would have said or would have meant by that was that there isn't a job for me to get. Not that that I just dipped and bothered my ass getting up this morning and going out to look for a job. There isn't one here. And if you're one quarter Irishman, you'd figure that one out yourself without anybody ever having to tell you.
Well, yeah. The point he's making is that he can't get a job. So, what is he supposed to do with the situation if he can't get a job, Stephen?
Keep my wife at home.
Well, everybody who doesn't have a job says they can't get a job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. You know, people who really want a job, they end up getting one.
Okay.
That's what I've noticed, and I see a lot of people go months and months looking for a job, and then the people who really want one, they get one right away because they want it a little more. They don't spend, 10 minutes a day looking for a job. People who spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week looking for a job will find a job.
All right, I'm going to go to
that simple.
Justin, you're in Galway. You're live on Classic Hits 4FM. If anyone wants to give us a call, you can, 1850 410 494 or text us at 53544. We've gone way over time on this already, but go ahead, Justin, sorry.
How do you do, Niall? Look, I love the show. I'm just listening to our Mormon friend there.
No, he's not Mormon.
I'm not a Mormon, I'm a Christian.
Okay. Christian, well, I'm a Catholic, and the way you speak about a woman's opportunity and the way you speak about what a man has to do in the house, I just think it's absolutely crazy. It's well and good, but I can tell just from the way you are speaking that you've certainly never, ever been educated or grown up in Europe. Because
I spent 4 months living in Europe. I speak several languages, and my wife was born and raised in Germany lived there until she was an adult. So I know a lot about Europe.
Okay.
He's telling me I'm not educated. I speak German and Spanish, and I spent 4 months in Europe.
Sorry, I didn't say you're not educated. I just said that obviously
yes, you did.
You're not educated in Europe.
Well,
okay,
I've been to Europe, and I was educated in Europe.
What's the point you're trying to make, Justin?
The point I'm trying to make is that, much and all as I agree with a lot of what has been said there tonight as regards, perhaps a woman can be loved and can be happy and can be satisfied to be, in the house and looking after her children. But I think it's absolutely ridiculous to suggest that every woman is the same and that every woman, is only capable of, being the homemaker or whatnot in a house.